So recently we've been starting a new series called Listen Up Church and just going through some different things that the Apostle Paul has talked about. And so we encourage you, if you haven't listened online or haven't heard all the messages, I encourage you to do that just to get caught up about where we're at and what's going on and whatnot. So today we'll be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 10, and the verses will be on the screen in a moment. I'll read that. Just to get us started a little bit here too, it's interesting because in this particular thing we're going to look at this morning, there's some things that are going on in the Apostle Paul's life, and there's some suffering going on, and for the Corinthian church, they're having a hard time reconciling how an apostle can be such a witness for Christ, even though he's struggling through different things, the suffering in his life, and they can't understand how a true apostle is suffering so much if he's in fact a true apostle. And many people in our lives today have a hard time reconciling suffering and following God and have a hard time grappling with that as well. And Paul is just gives us some good things to consider here today as we look through it. And one of the verses he says is, and he says, if I must boast, I will boast in the things that show my weakness. And we're going to get a great picture here about Paul's suffering, but also what he leaned into and what he did because of his suffering and the things that he had to understand and figure out as well. So it's good that we can learn from him as well. So the scriptures will be on the screen. I'm just going to read some scripture for us. If you have your Bibles or your device, you can turn there with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'll be reading verses 1 to 10. So 2 Corinthians 12, verses 1 to 10. All right. And the verses should be on the screen as well. I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up in the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in his body or out of his body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast except for my weaknesses. Though if I have should wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, that I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, that's when I am strong. So it's a fascinating verses here. And what's going on is, look at the first verse here. It talks about, I must go on boasting. Though there is nothing to be gained by it, I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. So what's going on here in the context of these verses, there's false apostles, false teachers that are walking around and boasting about the visions and the revelations they've had. And they're actually mocking Paul as well and saying that what they've seen, these super apostles, these apostles that are bragging, these false teachers, they were actually deceivers amongst the Corinthian church. And they were comparing themselves to the Apostle Paul. And what was going on is that these seducers, as they're called, they were trying to distract people from the true devotion to Christ. And Paul is this man who has a humble heart. And for him, he's trying to protect the church, but he's also trying to not compete with them in terms of how these false teachers are one-upping one another to say, I've got a greater revelation than you have. And in those days, spiritual leaders, and even today, would talk about supernatural experiences to promote themselves, to raise them higher than they actually are. And we see that even today in this day and age where false teachers and preachers in general can sometimes raise themselves up by telling these great stories about themselves to impress others, to get the applause of man. And Paul isn't doing that. He's telling the story, and he also knows if he brags about who he is, there's no gain in that. There's no gain in that for anybody. And so Paul is telling us as well what we should be doing. And he talks about how boasting is foolish and how it's important not to boast about ourselves. And Paul is getting into this conversation. And one of the reasons he has this conversation too is to, as he talks about what the Lord has revealed to him, is to also verify the story that he has, that nobody else is stealing away the facts that actually went on, to fill in the blanks of Paul's story. And that's why Paul is interceding here and having this conversation. And Paul essentially, and the scriptures are seen here today, he wants people to trust in Christ, not to trust in him, not to trust in these false prophets, these teachers, but to trust in Christ. Verse 2 says this, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, but God knows. So Paul begins to tell the story of the supernatural experience that took him to the third heaven. And that's what he starts talking about. Now in the Old Testament, the third heaven is often referred to as the highest heaven, a place created by God where he lives and where angels praise him. And you can see that in 1 Kings and Nehemiah and Psalm 148 as well. And most commentators understand that the first heaven to be the sky above the earth. The second heaven would be the realm of the sun, the moon, and the stars. And we refer to that as like outer space. That's kind of what we would consider as well. So Paul in his vision here is so concerned about him coming across in an arrogant way. It's interesting, as he describes the situation, he's actually talking in the third person when he talks about this man that he knew had this vision. And he's describing this experience, and clearly Paul is talking about himself, but he's doing it in such a way that he's trying not to take any credit for what took place in his life. He's trying to emphasize God in his vision, and it's not about himself. And it's such an amazing experience. He doesn't even know if it's what actually happened, whether it was in body or out of body. And he's talking about what was going on. And he talks about how this happened 14 years ago when he had this vision. And he's explaining what's going around at this time. So let's just set up his heart here as he's having this conversation. Remember, picture this. There's false prophets and teachers and other super apostles that are there that are trying to one-up each other. And Paul is now sharing an experience that he had going into heaven, and he's trying to do it in a way that shows humility as well, and to also point people to Jesus and not to these men that are, again, prideful and one-upping each other and trying to look more spiritual than they actually are. Verse 3 says, and I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of body, I do not know, but God knows. Again, he repeats himself. And it's, again, as I mentioned before, he talks about himself in the third person. And the section of this letter is to people for understand that Paul was not just saying that he was superior to others. He was essentially, again, pointing people to Christ. And that's why, again, he spoke out of the third person out of modesty. And this experience for Paul that he had, this vision was so intense for him. Again, he did not know whether he was in body or not. So think about that, how powerful that must have been as well. And he refers to paradise in this scripture we see here. Again, a dwelling place where God is and his angels. Verse 4 says, and he heard things that he cannot be told, which man may not utter. So here's Paul, again, has this great experience. And he sees things that he is no longer allowed to share about what happened. And again, this shows such humility. And this is not mentioned in any other letter. This is mentioned here that Paul had this vision. And he's doing this again because he's now showing how the Lord had used him to see a revelation. But again, it wasn't for his own glory. And Paul is telling the story. And as he's telling the story, he's not promoting himself. He's promoting Jesus. And it's amazing to think about that, because in this day and age, what I've seen, and it's interesting when you watch people, whether it's on YouTube or a podcast, and you listen to people describe their experiences with God, it often seems to be very boastful. It often seems to be about them. And you know, when he talks about, when Paul says he can't utter what he saw, there's a humility in that too, to understand that Paul saw something amazing, but he was told that he could not share that. And I've seen often in this day and age, which is kind of disturbing to me, to be quite honest with you, where, you know, Paul has this experience, he goes to the third heaven, and he experiences something supernatural. And in his humility, he keeps it to himself. And it's a rare thing this happens where someone's going to see a vision like this. But in this day and age, often I hear of and I see of people on television and whatnot saying they have a daily trip to heaven, that they go to heaven on a regular basis and they hang out with God and they see all these things and they're able to grab some wisdom. But instead of grabbing the wisdom of helping the world, they'll grab books in heaven to help themselves. And it's quite disturbing when you see that online and on TV. And if you're watching any of those programs, and you're watching somebody that tells you they go to heaven on a daily basis or a weekly basis, or you listen to a podcast like that, you need to simply change your channel, because it's just wrong. It's not right. It's false teaching. And I want to be very clear about that as well, because Paul was told you're not to share his vision. And he honored the Lord in that. And many folks will share about their journey to heaven or their experience with God in a way that brings attention to them versus bringing glory to God. And Paul's heart and desire is to make Christ great, is to help others understand who Jesus is. And again, it's powerful, but Paul is forbidden to share any information that was going on. And John was given similar a command to keep certain details silent when given the revelation, out of Revelation chapter 10, verse 4, to talk about some things, but not every detail was supposed to be given out. And the same thing is happening here. Now, it's amazing, too, when you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, it talks about our present sufferings and what's ahead, what we're suffering here today, but what's ahead for us in heaven and in glory. So Paul must have seen something to affirm that in his spirit when he saw what he saw, to help us realize that we are suffering here today. However, in eternity, we'll have such hope and freedom. And Paul saw something, and he kept it to himself, though. But he tells us as well that there's hope coming, and we should be encouraged by that. So how well do you do when it comes to God showing you things through the scriptures and through your life and the stories in your life? And it's good to tell stories what God is doing. It encourages the body. But I think we need to be careful how we do it, that we're not boastful. It isn't about us. It isn't our pride that is talking, but we're doing it in a way of humility. Verse 5, on behalf of this man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast except of my weakness. Now, Paul was not a man who boasted. A matter of fact, he was against that. He talks about how foolish it is to boast. But one area he would boast in was his weaknesses, was his struggle, the things that were going on in his life that were hard. And he realized his weaknesses. He realized how insufficient he was without Jesus in his life. And he talks a lot about this in his life, about all the setbacks he's had, the shipwrecks, being imprisoned, and all these things. And in the midst of all of that, we see he relies completely on the power of God and not his own ability. How well do we do that in our lives? How well do we lead into the power of God versus our own ability? I think often we try to lead our lives in such a way that we have control, and we think we have control. But are we actually honoring the Lord in how we live our life and the things that are going on? How well do we do that this morning? Verse 6, though if I should wish to boast, I will be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. Again, what do we see in this man's heart? a Christ-like attitude of character and humility, that he wants people to see Christ and not him. How often do we lead people towards Jesus, but instead of them seeing Jesus, they see us? And God can use us as vessels, absolutely. However, in our journey of faith, are we drawing people closer to Christ or further away? Because in the way we live our life, in our humility, in how we point people to Christ, will make a difference in how we witness to others that are far from Jesus. How is your character this morning? How well do you point to people to Christ? When people look at you today and look at our lives, do they see that we are pointing our lives to Christ? Do they see that we're willing to serve Jesus at all costs? Do they see that we are willing to submit to God fully in repentance, admitting our sin and repenting from those things and having a heart that seeks to the things in the scriptures versus the things that we try to do on our own? See, Paul was a man who did that. And it's a great example for us as we see that in his life. Verse 7 says this, "So to keep me from becoming conceited, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited." See, God wanted Paul to become Christ-like in his humility. And instead of seeing himself as above everybody else, Paul came to serve. And Jesus did the same thing. Jesus came to serve, not to be served. He came to serve himself as our Lord and Savior. And Paul has this thorn in the flesh. Now, perhaps you've heard this about this before. And the word for thorn here is a word in the Greek called skolops. And this term literally means a pointy piece of wood, almost like a stake, that is going through your body. Your body's actually being stabbed by it, and it's unable to be removed. And it's chronic pain and discomfort. So think about that. You took a sharp stick and poked yourself in your arm or your stomach or wherever the case may be, there'd be much pain in that, wouldn't there be? Physical pain, we would feel that in our bodies. And so Paul is creating this imagery for us to understand what is going on. And he talks about this thorn, this splinter in his body, and it's a messenger from Satan, the enemy of our soul. And we can see here that Paul is being harassed, and Paul has something in his life that is going on, and it's allowing God to use Paul in a mighty way, in a different way, to understand that. And as we think about this thorn in the flesh for the Apostle Paul, there's been many debates as to what his thorn was. Commentators and theologians have debated about this for many, many years. Some have talked about his eyesight. He could have bad eyes, and that could be his thorn in the flesh. Some talked about a physical weakness or a tremor he had in his body. Others have argued that perhaps it was a speech, the way he spoke as well. Some have said that he might have MS, or perhaps some conditions after a stroke. There's been other things as well, that possibly Paul had depression or some emotional trauma or some anxiety in his life, maybe some personal conflict with others as he did ministry, perhaps a temptation of sin that was constant in his life. Scripture never tells us clearly what this burden is, but there's obviously something going on in his life, a thorn in the flesh to keep him humble. And I think it's good that Scripture is vague on this, because I think it gives us a better understanding that we all have weaknesses. And if there was something that was specific, and we saw it specifically what it was, we might look at that and go, well, I don't have that, so I'm good to go. So I think the vagueness is actually a blessing for us to understand that we don't want to miss the greater point that we're leaning into Christ. And in the midst of all this, this thorn was to bring humility. And humility is so important to God. It is so important to God. Pride is a dangerous thing. Pride is absolutely a dangerous thing. And all of us, I think, can be very subtle in our pride. And we need to be aware of that. We need to be self-aware of our pride and how it comes across and how others may see us. Or perhaps what's happening in our own heart that nobody else sees. Now, God is willing to allow Satan a limited level of power to create a helpful weakness in the Apostle Paul and for our lives as well. Let's remember that. And Paul talks about how God's power is made perfect in a believer's weakness and not in our own strength. That just because we have a spiritual life that is deep and rooted in the scriptures and we're faithful with God does not mean we're suddenly not going to have any issues or any problems in our life. And there's teaching out there that tells the opposite of that, tells us that if we have struggle in our life, we have sickness in our life, that means we are not prospering, that we don't have wealth because of those things in our life. And that's called the prosperity gospel. And it's a lie from the pit as well. Each one of us is going to have sickness. We're going to have struggle. But it doesn't mean when we have those things that we are not being used by God. These things can happen in our lives. However, I want to say this as well. We can also make choices in our life that are sinful, that are completely unbiblical, and we can't blame God for that and say, well, I have this thorn in my flesh because of this. Well, it's a decision you've made to honor your flesh, to honor yourself, and not Christ. And so let's be clear about that. When we make sinful choices, there are consequences to that. So let's be clear that in our choices, if they're sinful and we're struggling, let's not blame God for that. That's a choice that we've made. Verse 8 says this, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this. Again, this is a thorn in the flesh, and Paul is saying that it should leave me. As I said earlier, Christians are not immune to hardship at all. We are not immune from natural ills, from persecution. And I've heard, unfortunately, many times when someone will say, if you come to Christ, your life will be perfect. You'll no longer suffer. You'll no longer struggle. And that's just not true. Because you can all tell me a story, amen? And you look at the scriptures, we can see clearly that when you come to Christ, your life is not going to be easy. As a matter of fact, it might get worse. It might get worse. So Brother Brennan gave his life to Christ, and the journey is now ahead of him. And there's going to be things thrown towards him that he's going to have to decide on. And every single one of us has to make the decision, at what cost are we willing to follow Jesus? And we have to make those decisions. So remember this, folks. Your lack of faith isn't a reason you're sick, isn't a reason you're struggling. And if somebody tells you that, you need to have a hard conversation with them about that, because that's just not biblical. And false teachers today will try to convince Christian converts that in order to get ahead in this world, we must give and give and give to outgive God. And if we do that, we will receive health, wealth, and prosperity. And that's just not biblical. And again, if you're hearing that sort of teaching from someone in your life today, I'm going to encourage you to turn the channel. See, when these things happen, when somebody is told a false gospel and things start falling apart in their life, they suddenly get sick, they lose a job, and what do? They blame others around them. They blame Jesus. They blame their faith. And Paul is saying this thorn in the flesh that he has isn't because he wasn't faithful. He is faithful. And we will suffer in this life. And that was Paul is reminding us that we need to remember that. And having this thorn in the flesh for Paul was a way for Paul to slow down a little bit, for Paul to lean into more into Christ. Three times he asked for this thorn to be removed. I'm sure you've gone through life where you've asked the Lord to remove something in your life for many years. And perhaps it's still lingering around. And maybe that's where you're at this morning. And what we need to do is understand that we have to endure. And we have to realize that following Jesus isn't easy. And there's going to be things in our life that are going to cause us pain and heartache. And if the Lord has put things in our life to help us lean more into him, to become more faithful, to let go of the things that hold us back, that's what he'll do. He'll do whatever it takes to get our attention. And are we paying attention? Are we aware of these things? So Paul is going through this, and there's a lot going on and to consider. And verse 9 says this. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So Paul gets this permanent no from the Lord Three times he asked, and what does the Lord say? Nope. So remember, I've said this before, no is an answer to prayer. It is an answer of prayer. And instead, what's going on here, God is proclaiming to Paul the saying that the grace I have for you is sufficient in your suffering. I can not just help you thrive, but I'll help you grow in strength. Because of our weaknesses, God is strong with us. And perhaps you're going through something today where you are so weak in your struggle, and you're trying to reconcile the suffering you're going through with following God. And I know many people have given up the faith because when life started getting difficult and circumstances became heavy, they walked away from Jesus because it was all his fault. And yet we are told in Scripture that there will be suffering. And how faithful will we be? Are we only following Christ because it's convenient for us? Because it's good for me? Are we willing to follow Christ at all costs? No matter what it takes, no matter how we look, no matter what we have to give up, are we willing to do that? And that's what Paul is saying for us. In our suffering, we continue to follow Jesus. Are you there this morning? So Paul is dealing with all these things, and this group of, again, super apostles that I mentioned earlier, they were critical of Paul. They thought he was inferior because of his struggle, because of the thorn in his flesh. And what does Paul again say? If I must boast, I will boast in the things that show my weakness. In our suffering, it helps us allow us to lean more into God, to allow him to work in our lives. That means we need to trust him. That means we need to walk with him. That we need to understand that our life as a Christ follower isn't full of leisure, isn't a picnic at the beach. It's a life of hardship. It's a life of struggle. And we need to recognize that. And are you fighting the good fight? Are you continuing to follow Christ no matter what it takes? And do you understand our weaknesses when we have them? Christ can show up even more. Verse 10 says, for the sake of Christ, that I'm content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. Are you strong this morning? Well, I hope you're weak and you're strong in Christ. Do you know that this morning? In our frailty, in our weakness, we need to surrender to God. Full-on surrender, completely naked in front of him spiritually, to understand that we cannot do this on our own, that God would give us a strength. I want you to think back a time in your life where you've gone through something difficult and you've prayed through it and you've continued to go forward in it as well. And but at the end of the day, you're at your end of your rope and knowing God's going to give you the strength you need. And think about that time when you went through it. What happened in your life? And you look back and you think about how certain people came into your life. They didn't maybe know very well. They came in for a season. And God would bring those people in your life during your suffering for a season. And God knew that. And he brought those people in your life to help you, to pray with you, to work in you, to show you his faithfulness. And when we do that, when we reflect and recognize what God has done, it gives us a heart of gratitude. It helps us realize that, man, God has delivered us from so much. And if you've come here this morning and you haven't been reminded of God's faithfulness, I encourage you to go home today and write a list of the things he's delivered you from in the last year, the last 2 years, maybe the last week even. I think we have a heart that often forgets how good God is. And Paul is reminding us that God is good. And in the midst of all this, his witness was for the Corinthian church to see the power of Jesus, the power of Christ, not Paul's power. And his boasting again was turned upside down because Paul was not pointing to himself. He was not pointing about his faithfulness, his education. He was boasting about his weaknesses in Christ, and therefore Christ becomes strong in his life. That's completely contrary to the world. Many will boast upon themselves and how they've done it or how they have all the strength. And yet Paul is telling us, as Christ followers, we must trust in God first in the weakest of our areas. and to submit to him fully so we can fully understand and appreciate when he says, my grace is sufficient for you, that we would lean into that promise every single day and to know that full well. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that God's grace is sufficient for you? I hope you do, because we need that. We need that in our lives. I need that every single day of my life. And perhaps you've got something in your life that you've struggled with for a long time. Again, Paul talks about the thorn in the flesh. And you've prayed about something and it just continues to be something in your life that is ongoing. And instead of looking at it like a burden, perhaps look at it like a blessing. And how it causes us to lean more into Jesus instead of our own strength. Do you rely on Jesus in your weaknesses? Do you fully rely on the power of the cross because of who Christ is in your life? And the Apostle Paul is saying here to all of us that we need to do that. And in our bragging and our boasting, we point to Jesus. And there's a difference between us pointing to Jesus and having false humility. You know, oftentimes you'll go up to somebody and say, thank you for this and how you appreciated the way you led worship or how you did X, Y, and Z. And we're often like, oh, it was all Jesus. And it's like, okay. But often in that, we can have false humility as well. A simple response is thank you. You don't have to go on a big conversation about how God has blessed you with these gifts and you just go on and on and on. At that moment, you've lost it all. A simple thank you. Receive that blessing. And there's something to be said about that. You know, I mentioned humility before. I mentioned it last week as well. And Paul was such a great example of that. But the ultimate example of humility was Jesus. Like, how many saviors can you think of? And there's only one savior. But as I talk about this, came to wash people's feet. Do you see anybody in this world that we live in today that is in high power would come here or come to their people and wash their feet? I highly doubt it. I highly doubt it. And Jesus, that's what he did. And he's our ultimate example when it comes to being humble and to living a life that is honoring to him. So a couple of questions for us on the screen. How has God worked in and through you during a time of weakness? Think about that for a second in your life today. How have you been a witness to others in your weaknesses? How have you brought attention and glory to God because of your weaknesses and drawn people to Christ because of it? What will you do to develop and trust in God that you rely on during times of stress and suffering? What is our default answer when we struggle? Is it Jesus or do we point to the world? Do we point to philosophies of this world that we think are going to help us? And I understand full well that when we lean into Christ and we've been praying about something for so long and things don't change. But remember what Jesus said, this world, there'll be much trouble. And that's why we have to live our lives with the lens of eternity. To understand that, yes, our suffering here is short, but one day it will all be over. And I'm so more hopeful in these days than I ever have been. When I watch the news and I see what's going on, I am so hopeful because God is still good and he is moving mightily. He is doing things that are bringing things together that will point more towards Jesus. How well are we doing that today? How well are we developing our trust in God in our suffering? How well do we do that? And what do you find to be the hardest thing for you in handling suffering in extreme situations that stretch and test you? How well do we do when we suffer? How well do we do when it comes to handling suffering? Now, suffering itself can be extreme on different scales. It can be as simple as something small, and it can be something really big on the scale as well. But it's still suffering. It could be a bad day at work. You could have a bad day with your spouse. You could have, fill in the blank, whatever the case may be. How well do you do? And how do you handle that suffering? When you're angry, do you lash out? Do you yell and scream at your spouse? Yell and scream at your kids in the suffering? See, that's not handling it well. Do we handle these things well like Christ would? And he's calling us to do the same. So friends, this morning, there's a lot to consider. And I want you to capture this. Boast in Christ. It's okay to boast in what Jesus did in your life. Matter of fact, when you're going through trials and suffering, I believe you should wave the banner of Jesus even more so. How'd you get through that? How'd you thrive? Jesus. And don't be embarrassed by that. Don't be ashamed by that. You speak with boldness and say, my Lord and my Savior, even though my life isn't perfect, because friends are watching you today, and they're seeing your life, and they're going, they must not love the Lord. They must not really be a Christ follower. Look at all the heartache and the hardship they're suffering. And I said earlier, heartache and heartache continues to come as Christ followers. But again, I also said, the heartache we have and the sinful choices we make are very different. And our suffering and our sinful choices, there's consequences to that. But friends, are you being a witness for the kingdom? Are you drawing people closer to Christ because of your suffering? And you know many people that are suffering through struggle and finances and health and whatnot. And in that, do you see Christ? We have some friends in Ontario who he works for the kingdom, and he was recently diagnosed with a disease, and it came out of nowhere, like literally out of nowhere. He's a young man. He's in his late 40s. He's now in a wheelchair. He has a few months to live now. And it came out of nowhere, like literally. They weren't expecting it. And they were doing some great missionary work for the kingdom. And the people that have seen them recently in the visits at the house, they know the diagnosis. They know the prognosis. And every person that's left that house after they visited, they were overwhelmed by the joy they see in this couple. In the midst of him dying, in the midst of him suffering, not able to communicate, he has to use a computer to talk. And people leave and are encouraged because of their suffering. They see joy. They see hope. And these folks are still pointing people to Jesus. It's a powerful witness. How well do we do? How well do we do when it comes to our suffering? God's grace is sufficient for every single one of us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time together. I thank you for our weaknesses, and I pray, Lord, in our weaknesses that we would boast all the more gladly because of what you're doing in our lives. And I pray, Lord, when we boast about you, when we talk about your faithfulness and your goodness to us, that we do it in such a way that it points people to you, that there be a sense of deep humility in our lives, in our heart, and that you'd be glorified in all things. Thank you for each person here today. Thank you for those watching online. I thank you for the Apostle Paul and for his life and how he lived. And Jesus, we thank you for everything. I thank you for your humility, your heart, for going to the cross. And I pray, Lord Jesus, today we would know the power of that in our life, that we would not be ashamed, we would not proclaim with shyness, but we proclaim with boldness, that because of you, Jesus, we are strong in our weaknesses. In Jesus' name.